Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 65. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and in my people. No more shall be heard in the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, or be children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall gaze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson comes from 1 Corinthians. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the fruit, first fruits, then at the coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground. The men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
The text for today's message is from Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they may go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on the way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Do not be afraid," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go. Tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. There's a poem, and I lack the poetic ability to probably put the proper flair into it, so it's Dan's fault. In the sky, the song of the skylark greets the dawn in the fields wet with dew. The scents of the violets fill the air on such a lovely morning as this. Surely on such a lovely morning as this, Lord Jesus came forth from the tomb. Oh, what a morning like this. You know, in our world today, Easter's sort of becoming that the beginning of spring. You know, all the little baby animals and flowers and the grass is greener. That means, by the way, lawn mowing season's coming. You know, so you go, "Oh, look, it's getting so green up there." Yeah, y'all gonna be cutting it soon, too. And the leaves are out, and oh, this is all wonderful. See, that's not what Easter is about at all. It's about what these three women found when they went to the tomb. So they got up very early in the morning. Well, one of the women was Mary Magdalene. We know there was a woman herself who had seen evil face to face, because the Bible tells us that she was possessed by demons. Another was Mary, whose son was James the Less. Now, how would you like to go through life known as James the Less? Because one of the other disciples was James the Greater. "Excuse me, son, who are you?" "Oh, I'm James the Less. He's more important than I am." See, this is the good old days when you could give people that little moniker afterwards. And anyway, maybe I'm the only one that found that amazing. There was one person known in history as like John the Fat. Okay, not nearly as impressive to you. All right, the other one is Salome, mother of James and John. They're the great sons of thunder. They're the ones that wanted, when Jesus came into his kingdom, one to sit on my right and one to sit on my left. Oh, what a morning like this. I can absolutely guarantee you that first Easter morning, these women had not been expecting to do this very deed, even 4 days beforehand. Friday had shattered everything that they knew around them. Now, the Sabbath was over. By the way, when the Sabbath ends is at 6 p.m. So when the Sabbath ended, immediately these women went into Jerusalem to buy the spices that they needed to prepare. How many of you would like to go into downtown Indy at night when there's no traffic light or no street lights? No volunteers? Okay, that's what these three women went into Jerusalem to go buy these spices. Dangerous activity, but they were doing it for their Lord. Sadly, they go to the tomb and they haven't even worked it out. Who's going to possibly roll this stone away? Once they prepared the body for death, they're going to say goodbye to Jesus, but they're also saying goodbye then to all their hopes and dreams. Oh, what a morning like this. Even on an Easter morning like this here, I think it was this morning's news, or maybe it was yesterday's news, 4 churches were attacked around the world and a number of Christians killed. How many people in Indy have woke up underneath an underpass this Easter morning? And some in churches all around this country and world perhaps say, is there more to life than this? Do you ever wonder how your children are going to do with this world around us?
I'm looking at my granddaughter thinking, kid, you don't have any idea what's coming. Needless to say, the world is chaos around us. And some people have the world by the opposite of the tail. They got it going. But again, they too wonder, is this all there is? Well, Easter morning makes it different. Easter morning is the pivotal event in the history of the world that changes everything. When the women get to the tomb, first of all, they find the stone rolled away. That young man sitting in the tomb tells them to go and tell the disciples. So, did they then at that point go out and get all the Easter chocolate and bunnies and jelly beans? Now, if you all don't answer, you don't get breakfast. Now, see, that's not, of course, how it I don't want to call it a story, because the narrative goes. They're alarmed. This man is sitting in there in white robes. And said, they want to know, where's the body? They're not expecting the resurrection. They've forgotten what Jesus said, you know, about being delivered over to the hands of evil men, crucified, and on the third day, rise again. And he sure didn't look like an angel. Just a young man sitting there in a white robe. The gospel lesson talks about it being a dazzling robe. Think about the angel that was outside the Garden of Eden. No, it wasn't a little baby with little fat cheeks. I hate those angels. When I come to visit you, you hide them all or I'll take them. Okay? Ew. I know I've ranted about this before, but can you imagine Satan coming up against an angel? Oh, you had no cheeks on this one. The angel outside the Garden of Eden had a big flaming sword. Said, you're not passing through here again. All right? He may not have looked impressive in the tomb, but he sure had a powerful message. You are looking for Jesus of the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. But go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Could it really be true? Could these women really believe the words they had just heard? And where I read in Mark chapter 16 there, it ends. The Gospel of Mark ends with the women trembling, bewildered, and afraid. That's the ending of the book of Mark. If you open up your Bibles, you're going to see there are several verses then after this. And either Mark penned it in later or one of his students did. I don't know. This is where I let the eggheads in St. Louis argue about this and do whatever they do. All right? But let's look at it. If Mark does end just there with the women trembling at the tomb, what doesn't it leave? What questions left unanswered? Where is he? What's the proof? Maybe there's no risen Lord. What if he hadn't come back and shown us his glorious body? Well, Paul answers that in 1 Corinthians 15:14. If Christ had not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Faith would be useless without people actually seeing that Christ had been risen from the dead. Boy, try that in English. We'd have no faith. If we hadn't seen him, or people, eyewitnesses, had not seen him, there would be no Christian faith. You know, if the Gospel of Mark just ended there with that trembling, bewildered, and afraid, that would be a pretty sad ending. But see, that's not the end. The other apostles add more to the narrative that the women did go and tell the disciples. And I love Peter. That's my boy. I can relate to Peter for saying a lot of stupid stuff. What does Peter do as soon as he hears the news? He says, I am checking this out. So he and John have a foot race. See, I kind of have an idea. Peter was probably shaped a lot like me too, because the way it's worded, Peter got there a second, but he was a little winded. John didn't want to go in. Peter, my boy, he just goes right on in, wants to see what's going on right away. He doesn't hang back. He's not one of those kind of guys. Mary Magdalene goes back then later. Did I really see the empty tomb? No, the body's got to be somewhere. Jesus appears to the disciples then in a very short period of time, and then a week later he appears to Thomas. He then meets the disciples again then up in Galilee. And we learn from Paul that 500 witnesses saw the risen Christ. And Jesus even appeared to his own brother James. By the way, Jesus' family did not believe in him as the Messiah until after the resurrection. James finally got it. Finally, he sees who Jesus really was. And I don't blame his brothers or sisters for this. You grow up with somebody, you really think they're going to be, that's God? All right, it's kind of hard to see that. Just as a side note, can you imagine being raised in a family with Jesus? Your parents say, can't you be more like Jesus? You guys don't think about this stuff, do you? You know, a lot of people take medication for insanity. I just embrace it. All right. Anyway, after James believes, he becomes the leader in the early church. We have ascension 40 days later. 10 days after that is Pentecost Sunday, where 3,000 believers are added. This is the news that is spreading quickly that Jesus is alive. And the story doesn't end with those women trembling, bewildered, and afraid. It's not the end, because Jesus is alive. And sometimes we come before him like those women. We're terrified, bewildered, and afraid. But because Jesus is alive, everything changes. The power of God conquers any problem in the world. As I said, we've got world chaos around us, wondering what our children and grandchildren are going to see. Do you know what, though? God is still in control. And we still hear him say, do not be afraid. There's two wonderful bookends in the Gospels. The beginning bookend is at Christmas. What does the angel say when they first come to Mary and announce that Jesus is going to be born, and when they appear to the shepherds in the field? The very first words out of their mouth.
Don't be afraid.
Yes! Don't be afraid! See, I heard it. Don't be afraid. Again, now, the other bookend at the other end of the story is when the angel says to the women, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because a relationship with God and man is right. The salvation of the world started when Jesus was born, and when he was raised from the dead, the salvation of the world was then complete. Yes, he is risen. See, you all need about 3 cups of coffee. All right, he is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And we too get to live in the light of that resurrection. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.